should be the Jorgensons that lived on the farm when I was a child, a very young child. Let's see if it's working. Okay, well, we're here on April the 23rd, 1998, and I'm here with Mr. and Mrs. Jorgensen. It's Ray and is it Bernice? Mm-hmm. Ray and Bernice Jorgensen. And they lived over in the milk house when I was very small, and we'll get the dates. When did you come to the farm?
The year she was born, I believe,
33.
In 1933?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you stayed till 1936?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that's still going. And as I recall, were you the mechanic that handled everything, or were you a herdsman, or milk house?
I worked in the milk house, washing bottles and
bottling the milk.
Bottling the milk, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember who else was there with you? Was George Schreiber there yet?
I don't seem to remember any of their names. There was a young fellow who came shortly after I did it. He was educated in pastoring. He had took charge of pasteurizing and all that.
Uh-huh.
He done most of the bottling too.
Well, I probably got his name somewhere. And I guess maybe it was the Swanson man that was the one that did a lot of the repairs and things then. But there was a Swanson on the farm. Al Swanson, was it? Did you say he was a relative of yours?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He may have been in there for a while.
Yeah.
He was good at fixing things, so it probably was he.
And did you move in over the milk house after Moomoo Stam, after the Stams moved out?
Mm-hmm. We moved in before Beverly was born. She was born in 33. What's your birthday?
Yeah, well, Moomoo was there before then in
mm-hmm.
Leicester.
Mm-hmm.
And then she and Grandma had a fight.
Oh.
But nobody knows about what. All we knew was that they picked up and left.
Did they know what it was about?
I don't know. Nobody ever told. They just picked up and left. And so at some point after that, you people came in.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And were there about 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was pregnant with her
uh-huh.
when we came. And then we went into my mother's for her to be born.
And your mother was where, in town?
Yeah, on 6th Street.
On 6th Street. So
mm-hmm.
so you knew about, where did you live originally? Did you grow up in Beloit?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, so you knew about the farm then.
I was born and raised in Beloit. Mm-hmm.
And did you, were you a Beloiter too?
No,
I
brought him down.
North of a little town named Coisippi.
Coisippi.
See you later.
So he was used to the farm.
Mm-hmm. You were on a farm up there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dad owned a small farm. There's four children of us, three boys and a girl. We were all raised there on that farm. Right on the edge of Lake Poygan.
I'm not familiar with the area. I'll have to get out my map and look it up. And how did you meet him?
At school.
At school.
We both went to a school out at Arpen.
Huh?
Arpen. Yeah, Arpen.
Mm-hmm.
At Arpen. We had our church had
a
boarding school?
Mm-hmm.
And so you were both there at the boarding school, like a boarding high school?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where you met?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I knew what I saw.
So you brought him back to Wisconsin,
mm-hmm.
to Beloit.
Yeah.
And when Grandpa Dogan hired you, did you have to stand on the red rug there by his desk? Do you remember that?
Remember.
Did he ask you if you drank or smoked?
Probably did, I don't know.
He could've.
Because that's what he did with most of them, that they had to assure him that they neither drank nor smoked.
He went out there first, and Daddy didn't have anything for him to do. And so he came back, and he was looking around someplace else. And then I said, why don't you call Daddy Dogan again? I'd like to see him get out there, because I thought it would be a nice place.
Uh-huh.
So he went out again, and Daddy says, "I have been looking all over for you, and I couldn't find you." He lost his name, his address and telephone number.
So he put you right into the milk house.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did you make the cottage cheese?
No. Helped package it.
Did you make the butter? Because I think they had the churn then. One of the stories in there, I said it in 1933, it could have been 32. It was in the Depression. Have you gotten to that story yet, Bev, of Daddy Churns?
Yeah, I've read the whole book.
Okay, well.
But I haven't read it all from them yet.
Well, that story, he didn't tell me till he was over 90. It was on his conscience all these years, and he never told anybody. And
I wonder.
He finished churning the butter and putting it into the tubs and getting it all ready to go out the next day. For some reason, somebody had been absent in the milk house or something. And when he poured out the buttermilk, he poured out a mouse. And then he knew that Grandpa Dogan, Daddy Dogan, would have given all that butter to the pigs.
Mm-hmm.
But the farm was teetering on the brink of bankruptcy.
Mm-hmm.
In the Depression.
Yeah,
and he just couldn't do it. And the original ending of the story, he sends out the butter and then we have 2 weeks of agony.
But nobody got sick.
Nobody got sick.
No.
But a butter maker, a retired butter maker, from whom I got my facts, because I didn't want to ask Dad because I figured he'd know I had written the story then,
mm-hmm.
He was appalled. Story shouldn't be published. But then he suggested the ending, and I thought, that might be a better ending, to leave it where you don't know whether he's going to hit the deck and go out and get the butter off the trucks. He hears the trucks loading up.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's that story. Bev will read that one to you pretty soon.
I've always said I'd like to be in a church that he was minister of.
It would have been wonderful, wouldn't it?
I think he'd make a wonderful minister.
Yeah, well, he was being a minister all those years on the farm.
Yes, he was always kind and gentle and good. Yeah.
Do you remember any specific things he ever said? Any comments? Would he come in the morning and say cheery things in the milk house?
Mm. He was always cheerful.
Yeah.
He was good, but I don't remember any exact words.
Yeah, some people remember a few, but
we lived upstairs, and I could hear him talking downstairs, but I couldn't understand what he was saying.
Because he sort of shouted with his deafness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you couldn't understand it quite as well as.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't catch anything he said. But I knew I liked him very much, and he thought he was great.
Well, you must have seen something of Ron and Vera, because they were just over there in the little house.
Yeah, but we didn't.
And,
we didn't get as close to them. We didn't have so much to do with them.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they were.
Well, my brother was born in 1930, so he was 3 years older than Bev.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
they used to come over to see Beverly all the time. When she
I remember
was tiny.
That we did. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, Vera was very nice to talk with. I never got real acquainted with her. We didn't do the same things together. She was very nice. And well, Ron was too. I mean, I didn't have much to. Didn't see very much of him.
Well, he was over in the office, and the office was in the big house, in the back of the big house at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And you had the noise of the milk house under you.
Mm-hmm. You get used
and
to it.
You got used to it, yeah. And then Mother was busy with us little ones, and we weren't that little, though, at that point. If I was born in 28, so that would have made me 5 when you were born, Bev. What's your birthday?
9th
of August. Mm-hmm.
Tell them about the man that came for to sell the idea of vitamin D milk.
Oh. We were over at, I don't know if Ray was there, but I was over to the big house in that little room where you come in in those days. And this man came, they knew he was coming to tell him about they were getting into the vitamin D and the milk. And he came in and he looked at Beverly and he said, "You can tell she's been on vitamin D." I've been nursing her. But,
she's been breastfeeding.
Have you got some other stories there, Beverly, that they mentioned?
Do you remember them feeding the cows yeast that had vitamin D in it?
Yeah, we started out feeding them yeast.
Oh, did you?
And they ended up being able to put stuff right into the milk up in the vats in the milk house. Mm-hmm. But when I was in sixth grade, I wrote a poem and I said something about they live upon a yeasty diet. Was the cow so calm and quiet? It was living on a yeasty diet. So at that point, they were still feeding them yeast for the vitamin D.
Did you tell her about washing bottles by hand, and then remember the bottle washer coming in?
We had a set of three brushes. We were first. We washed all the bottles on them.
And you'd push them onto the brushes?
Yeah.
I've got a picture of those brushes.
Yeah.
Ronald went around and took pictures at one point.
He's got a picture.
He's got a scar.
Yeah.
One day the bottle
broke. And
took a piece out of his finger.
Boy, yeah. You can tell that finger's had some.
Yeah.
I put down here, he doesn't remember Daddy Dogan bandaging up, so he might have.
In the bandage story? He might have had to go to the hospital with it.
I don't think so, did
he? I don't remember, but.
Well, I've got a section on accidents, and I can stick that one in, because a lot of them are broken bottles, and cutting yourself, and
the
so forth, and broken limbs. Falling off the top of the hay, the hay rick, the hay thing when it's coming barreling down the road to beat a storm, and things like that.
Yeah.
Do you remember hiring a man that specialized in pasteurized milk? They've been pasteurizing it, but just the health was doing it, and then they hired a man that had schooling and pasteurizing.
Schooling and doing it? I wonder who that was.
Names are always hard to.
Somewhere, and I haven't seen them in a while, but somewhere I've got the ledgers with the help in them, and Dad had them all but one. There were four, and he's got three, and so there's one that's missing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure at what years those were, because I haven't seen them in a while, because I've got so many documents and things, but I'll be getting to work on the big book soon, and then I will be getting everything in order. And I'll find that, and I can see who was there. If that book isn't missing, I can see who was there when you were there.
Yeah, well, he started.
And I'll send you the names.
He started before Beverly was born. Well, I was pregnant when he moved down here. And he went off to work for Daddy Dogan pretty soon.
Uh-huh.
I was always glad he did, because I knew he was nice to us. I don't know how I happened to know him.
Well, maybe your family took milk.
Well, yeah.
And Grandpa knew a lot of his customers.
Mm-hmm. Well, your disposition goes before you, too.
Yeah, people, I think so. So he had a reputation.
Oh, yes.
And maybe there were some friends that you had, too, that worked out there.
I couldn't say.
It was right about that time that Howard Milner came, and some of the milkmen that lasted till the very end.
Uh-huh.
Roscoe Oker, I think, came in the mid-30s. The routes were built up at that time because they began delivering milk in the factories. That's what saved the farm, really. And the people in the factories were the ones that had jobs. And so then they began taking home delivery.
Mm-hmm.
So that the business got built up during the Depression.
That's good. He deserved it.
My sister sent greetings, Pat. And she wanted to know if you remembered an episode with a barrel.
With a what?
A barrel.
What happened?
Do you remember an episode with a barrel?
No, I don't remember too much.
Never being told about a barrel?
What happened to you?
Well, she wrote me about this months ago. And she said, do you remember the Jorgensons that lived over the milk house? And then she proceeded to tell me this story that she had had on her conscience all these years. And she said, we would go over and play with Beverly. And she said, and one day we put Beverly in a barrel. And it was empty, she said. There wasn't anything in it. And we were playing with her and teasing her, and somebody said, "Take off your pants." And Beverly took off her pants. She was only three. And Patty says, and then her mother came downstairs from upstairs and snatched Beverly out of the barrel. And she said, and then after that, they moved. And she said, and I always thought that that was the cause of it. And she said, if you get a chance and it seems all right, ask them if they remember about Beverly in the barrel. She said, because absolutely nothing happened. She said, we didn't touch Beverly in any way.
Remember it all. Okay. Worth remembering, I guess.
Well, that's good. I'll tell her, because I said, you've been worrying about that all these years? And she says, yeah, every so often I think about Beverly in the barrel and what her mother must have thought. Well, I'll say that it never bothered the... She said it was just kid stuff, you know. And I said, well, they probably understood that.
The only thing I ever heard about me was... I followed the farm dog, whatever dog it was, I couldn't remember its name, and got lost in the cornfield.
Ooh.
And everybody was looking for me.
You don't remember that?
No.
Oh, we looked high and low, and we couldn't find her. And
I would have been about 8 years old. Now, that's a good story. He went out and you didn't know she was in the cornfield. You didn't know where she was,
no,
right?
No,
no. I don't know her.
We were up, you see, above the green, upstairs,
uh-huh.
And we could see down in the cornfield. We saw the dog going down through there, and saw his tail going. She's crazy about the dog. So I said, I'll bet that's where Beverly is, and I ran down there. Sure enough, that's where
it was. Was it the field across the road then, if you saw it from your...
No, I don't think so. I think it was the one
right
next
to the big house.
Yeah, right beside the big house.
Well, there would have been one beside the big house, and there might have been one on the other side of the little house.
Yeah.
But, so you saw her go, you saw the dog and went to the dog, and there was Beverly trotting along behind him.
I expected to find her.
About 2 years old?
Well, between
two and three.
Yeah.
But you don't remember that, Beverly.
No.
You don't remember getting snatched up. And
I kind of vaguely remember washing my hair in the horse tank, and then...
Yeah, I can remember doing that too. Washing your hair in the horse's tank.
Doing it on purpose or?
Yeah.
Because it would have been soft water, wouldn't it?
I didn't think
she didn't know about
it. Oh, okay, but you did. Well, we used to swim in the cow tank.
Yeah.
Do you remember going in the cow tank? The great big cow tank?
I did on Bartlett Farm, but I didn't.
Uh-huh.
So. I have some pictures of that. I hope you want them.
I bet I will. I'll get them copied for you if you'd like.
I got them copied already.
Well, how wonderful.
In case you want them.
Let me turn this off a minute then.
What size do you like?
Bernice is saying that she remembers corn curls up in the barn and that they were what?
Weren't they making more than one kind, and they were trying to see which was the gold of best.
Yeah, well, they were thinking more about what tasted best for cows, but it turned out that they got working on it for people. They hit the bonanza for people. But Claire, as I remember, when I was younger, when I was Beverly's age, I'd go up there on the barn floor, and here would be all these flakes and chips and
they were
things
good.
That they were good, that Claire was making up there. And it turned into Adam's corn curls.
Really?
Oh, yeah. All around the globe.
Uh-huh.
How often do you see this girl?
Oh, a couple times a year.
Huh? Okay, Daddy Dogan moved you off the farm.
He had the measles, I think it was.
I had the measles or something, and kids' disease, and he didn't want up above his uncle's house while we were recovering from that, so he moved into town. Rented a place for us in town.
He did?
Yeah.
And then when you were over the measles, you came back?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was certainly a thoughtful thing to do, wasn't it? I mean, he was protecting his business, but he was also protecting you.
Oh, yes. He'd never do anything against you.
Well, that's fascinating that you moved into town for the measles. You hadn't run into it as a kid, right? Is this your book, Beverly?
Yeah, that's.
I haven't heard that one before.
No, you just told me now.
Yeah.
How about you?
They talked to Beverly about being lost when they rescued her, and she said, "I wasn't lost, Mama. I knew where I was."
She was a pretty girl.
Say that again.
We liked working for Daddy. We saw a lot of him. We still do. And then my grandmother, I guess it was sick, and Dr. Bartlett came to doctor her. Mm-hmm. Probably knew who Dr. Bartlett's for.
I know the name, certainly.
Yeah. And they were looking for somebody to run their farm.
Uh-huh.
And it sounded too good to us, so we decided to go on.
So Ray became the overseer, the manager of the Bartlett farm. Now these are the people that the Bartlett Museum is named after, isn't it? It's that Bartlett family.
Yeah. Uh-huh. This was
Do you remember the schoolhouse on the farm? They kept stuff in it for the milk house. The chocolate barrel was in there and other supplies, the old schoolhouse. Well, that was moved there in the 20s after they consolidated the school district, and this school building was over next to Mackey's, and Grandpa bought it for $25 and moved it over. And we used to play school in that schoolhouse, which was there. Well, my parents donated it to the Bartlett Museum and the farm and the homestead, and so it's over there now. If you want to drive around sometime, go see there and you'll see the schoolhouse, and they fixed it up again, but they turned it around, and Dad says they're going through what was the door into the shed, not the door into the front. He says, but it doesn't make any difference, it's just all reversed. He said they tried, he and Eloise Marston Schneider, and the Marstons were on the next farm, and he said both he and Eloise tried to tell Dick Dundor the way it was, but Dick Dundor wouldn't listen. And he says, but it doesn't make any difference.
He should have kept his name on the outhouse door, and then they could have moved that.
Then they could have moved that too, yeah. Well, I have a friend who read the book, and she said, he must have been a terrible man to work for. I said, who, my grandfather?
Oh,
and she said, yes, he's so stern and unbending.
Oh,
and I said,
no.
Well, I didn't think I was saying that in the book. And so I'm hoping that he comes across better.
I didn't read that.
You didn't read that.
Of course, I heard all their comments.
Yeah.
He was just as kind and gentle as he could be.
Yes.
But he was also very strict.
Yes.
If he thought one of the guys doing something he shouldn't do, and he let him go right there.
Oh yeah. As I said in that one story where the guy had been drinking up in the silo, nearly killed himself.
We just read that this morning again.
Yeah.
But that's good.
But when we were getting this book ready, because the big one has so many more stories in it, so we had to pull them out, or my brother-in-law said, you've made Grandpa such a saint. He said, then when you get to the chapter about the blue memo, where he is so upset about Trevor, and Trevor's smoking, and he's so upset with his boys. I mean, he says he wrote such harsh things about him. He said, then it comes as a shock that he has feet of clay. He says, haven't you got a wart that you can stick in? Well, I had interviewed Dan Kelly, and Dan Kelly told me about Grandpa kicking the newspaper out. And this was up in your house, up in your apartment, back when that was first built and was being used as a bunkhouse. And Dan Kelly was just indignant. He said, he didn't tell me I couldn't read the newspaper on Sunday. And so I put that incident in, and my brother-in-law said, that's a very good wart, that'll do. But I think that might have been what turned my friend against him, you know, anybody that'll kick the newspaper out of somebody's hands. So.
Oh, he was a lovely old man.
So how long did you stay at the Bartlett farm?
12 years.
12 years?
Mm-hmm.
And after that, what did you do?
We bought a place out west of town. And we stayed there 1 year. And that year we had an awful winter. And Ray was working in town for, doing woodworking anyway. And he couldn't get home that night until way late. And I called for him to work. Yes, he left at the same time. I called along the way. I called the... I called the police and asked if they had any accidents or anything, or my husband was missing. He didn't get home until after 9 o'clock, and I was just, I had to be tired.
I wonder what year that was. If you left in 30...
Six
and we're 12 years, that would bring it to 48, and this would have been the winter of 48, 49, probably, when there might have been such a bad winter or a bad storm.
I don't remember what year for you.
It must have been about that, though.
Well, I was in college then, and I remember we had some very bad times, right around my first final exams. No, I wouldn't have been in college. Yes, I was, 46. The January of 47 was a terrible storm, because that was my first final exams.
Maybe that's where it was.
That might have been it.
Awful.
Yeah. Well, I've written that up.
And I said, I'm not going to live through that again. And so we sold out and built in town.
I'll stop there.